Live from Next Gen Studios, this is The Sports Page.
Happy Saturday and welcome to The Sports Page. I'm Ashton, sitting here with Chris. Hopefully y'all had a good Halloween. We were off that week. But even if we take a week off, and I thought it was probably a good week to take off, the Cowboys had just been on a bye, and there was a lot to do with Dak, and at the time we would have recorded, they hadn't made the decision whether he was going to start or not. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it turned out, even with Cooper Rush starting, the Cowboys are still continue to be a big story.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't have any faith in Cooper Rush. I'm just going to be completely honest going in. But, I mean, he definitely shut me up. You know, he's not bad. He's a serviceable quarterback. Like, he can go in and he can win you those type of games against, you know, teams that you would normally beat with Dak. But he can go in and you know, run the offense not to the level Dak can, but, you know, fairly well enough to, you know, win you a game.
Yeah, and I really want to dig into that game before we kind of preview the Cowboys and Broncos, which I'm sure we can agree on. We have the same feeling of what's going to happen in that game, given how the season's going. But let's kind of balance this out before we go talking about great things about the Cowboys and being homers. I've told you in previous episodes that this is my favorite time of the year, not only with sports, but just everything that's going on. It's fun and chaotic. And man, is there a lot of chaos going on in sports right now?
Yeah.
A lot in the NFL, but a lot in general. I mean, I'll just start listing these off and you stop me and go ahead and, you know, we can dive into, you know, a couple of these. But in general, if you just want to give your two cents on each one of these.
Yeah.
I don't have the list written down, so hopefully I can remember them all. But let's just start off with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, we can definitely speak on that one. It's, you know, it's kind of tough as far as, like, he put a lot of people in, I guess, in danger in a sense. Like, I'm not 100% on how, you know, how he made it this far as like, you know, going through like protocols and stuff like that. But, you know, as the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, you're obviously encountering a lot of people on a, you know, on a daily basis. And, you know, a lot of interviews, no mask or something like that. And turns out the whole time he wasn't even vaccinated. Like, how does he get, you know, slip through the cracks like that? It's just, you know, it's kind of, you know, it was shocking. Actually, I was like, wow, like I thought this whole time he was, but, you know, this is a crazy thing.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting for me at first. I was kind of, you know, I never wish anything health wise bad on anybody. And hopefully he has nothing serious, complications going on with catching COVID-19. He can, you know, heal and recover and everything's great. But when I saw that he was going to miss, I was thinking this is good for the Cowboys. I was, you know, kind of excited. Maybe Kansas City can go in there and get a win and the Cowboys can kind of move up from the Packers in the standings. And then I realized yesterday that he's my starting quarterback in my fantasy league. And I said, oh, crap. What? The only available player that I thought that I could work out is I picked up Jordan Love. So,
oh, wow. Yeah.
As a Cooper-esque type situation with me where I'm not expecting much from it. It is what it is. But yeah, day to day, the Packers, you know, the day to day stuff with the team and with the Packers, it sounds like he was going through normal protocols, normal situations because the Packers knew he wasn't vaccinated.
Right.
But yeah. Going through media and sideline pregame stuff, postgame stuff. I'm not really phased on all the educated on all the different protocols. I don't think very many people are. Even people who work for the NFL know exactly what the hell is going on. But surely, you know, they're going to dig into every single week what he's done, what he has, at least what you can track, and figure out if there are any rules he broke. Because, man, I don't know when that press conference was, if it was recent or a few weeks ago, but when he was asked if he was vaccinated, or I guess they didn't ask him directly if he was vaccinated, but they, you know, more or less, that's what they asked him. And he said, I'm immunized.
He kind of spun it. Like, it was was a good spin on words, but I mean, he didn't say he was vaccinated. He was like, I'm immunized. And he just, I guess he's, you know, he spun it the way I guess he was supposed to. I'm not really sure, but I mean,
And I've looked up, I mean, I know what immunized means, but I've looked up technical definitions to try to figure out, I mean, it's a reach to say he was spinning it, because really he's not immunized. He wasn't immunized.
exactly.
Basically, immunization is like the process of getting vaccinated, or not necessarily vaccinated, but helping your antibodies get built up or whatever. And I know his girlfriend's kind of out there at that situation with, but he's not immunized, and he wasn't. I don't know that he broke any rules about lying about it. It's clear that he didn't want people to know that he wasn't vaccinated. I'm not sure if that's, hey, I don't want people to think I'm an anti-vaxxer, or I am, and I just don't want that reputation. Kind of like what Cole Beasley's been dealing with.
Right. Yeah, true.
But I'm not sure if anything comes from this, whether fines or suspensions, or I mean, they take this seriously. It could, if Aaron Rodgers or the Packers broke any rules, they could be looking at losing draft picks potentially.
Yeah, I feel like that, you know, this is, I think, I'm trying to think, this might be the first situation as far as like this, you know, type of deal. I'm afraid, you know, I'm not like, I could care less as the Packers, but, you know, as far as like, I'm afraid that they'll probably try to throw the book at him, try to make an example out of him. And I'm not really sure what will come of this. I'm sure fines will come of it. You know, maybe suspensions, but, you know, it's a tough thing. You know, it's, you know, NFL is trying to take it, you know, really, really seriously. And I guess we'll just see, you know, what happens, but that's a tough blow for Green Bay for sure.
Yeah, and obviously because he's not vaccinated, he there's no chance of him playing on Sunday or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But earlier in the week, they're definitely, because you have to have a certain amount of days with negative tests. But if you're unvaccinated, you have to wait. It's not it's a time period. Yeah. It's not a certain amount of negative tests. So
yeah, I think he can. He's eligible. I think November 13th or something like that. But that's, you know, over, you know, like a week away. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I'm sure the NFL is going to have their hands all over this one, you know, this upcoming week. So we'll see.
Yeah. Other things going on. Man, it kind of creeped up pretty fast on the story developing. I mean, I'm sure behind the scenes it's been going on a long time, but Odell Beckham Jr.
Right.
There's a lot of confusion with it. You know, obviously, it's been a bitter situation. That's nothing new. He hadn't been able to stay healthy. He hadn't been happy. But his father, did he tweet it out? I'm not sure exactly what the – I think he tweeted out.
Yeah, I think he tweeted out a video, yeah.
Yeah, talking about or showing instances of Baker Mayfield could have thrown him the ball or thrown it thrown better to him, and basically saying Baker Mayfield's the reason Odell's not doing better as a Brown, and we've seen with Lonzo Ball and all the different members of the Ball family when the father's kind of out there talking, it's never a good deal.
Right.
I know Lonzo Ball's father, you know, has a podcast and he's kind of famous, and he's had a radio show. Yeah. Odell Beckham's dad, I didn't know was, has he done this before? I haven't seen any instance where he complained.
This is the first time I've ever, like, you know, I guess heard him publicly say anything about, you know, Odell. Cause I mean, granted, Odell hasn't really played much in the past couple of years, but, like this is the first time, but I guess he was just fed up. And, you know, the video, I was, you know, looking at the video, he had some points. It was just, you know, like, I never got it. Like, why not give the ball to, you know, I know at one point in his career, he was probably the one or two most explosive players in the league. I'm not, you know, he's obviously dealt with injuries and everything like that, but, you know, his dad was probably like, yeah, I'm, you know, my son's open, like, get on the ball. And, you know, that's how, you know, it's, you know, dads are like that, you know, you want your son to shine, and especially if they're actually succeeding and getting open, and they just want them to, you know, get the ball. But it was just one of those things. I've never heard of him before, though.
Yeah, and as odd as this has been, especially when, you know, Beckham didn't leave the Giants quietly. I mean, that was kind of an ordeal as well. And to not have him comment or say anything about that situation, it's just kind of out of nowhere. I know Alonzo Ball, before he even got in the league, you had heard stories of his dad criticizing his college teams, and we thought this was going to be bad for Alonzo, wherever team he ended up on. And I don't know if it was his dad as much as his ability to play that made him, that was the reason he didn't play for the Lakers. But it's just out of nowhere to me with Odell Beckham. I guess it's Odell Beckham Sr. because he's Odell Beckham Jr.
I
just assume that. I guess
I never be, yeah, just assumed. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. Like, you know, as a father, you obviously want your son to shine and everything. And, you know, I was watching the video, and I would have been upset too if it was like, you know, it's like my brother or something like that. You know, he was open, like Becker. It was almost like he wasn't even trying to, like, look his way. And it was like a weird thing. But, you know, I guess we'll see where he ends up. I'm not really sure. Like, it's just a weird situation.
Yeah, and because of his contract and his injury issues and the amount of money he's owed, they weren't able to trade him. They tried trading mm-hmm. him, and now they're hoping some team picks him up on waivers, so they, you know, get some of that kickback. If he clears waivers, then anybody's free to sign him for whatever amount. With his injuries and his they call it cancerous locker room type player, it's hard to imagine where he'll be. I saw a top 10 list and the Cowboys were on it, and I was just thinking, no chance. I would hope there would be no chance. First of all, they don't really need him. I mean, I know pretty much every receiver right now for the Cowboys has some sort of injury that they're, you know, a nagging deal that they're playing through. But with what's going on right now, and we'll discuss later in the next segment, you don't want to rock the boat, you know. I'm sure some team, I mean, a team's going to give him another chance. I don't know if it's going to be a contending team. I think the only place I know where it would probably go and work, they would be able to control him, would be maybe Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
With Tom Brady, because he was able to control Antonio Brown.
Yeah. And I think he will fit pretty good in Tampa. I feel like it's a few teams I feel like he can go and, you know, kind of make an impact, like the Patriots. You know, they have a good structure there. They can he can fit in. They need a number one. Maybe even the Saints. You know, he's from that area.
Yeah, the Saints need him, and they're in a situation where they're in playoff contention, and they, you know, it's kind of a desperate situation.
Right.
Tampa doesn't really need him. I don't know if he'd be okay being the pretty much the fourth receiver, maybe the third receiver. Green Bay, there's a fit there, or a need there on Green Bay's end. I don't know about a fit. With Aaron Rodgers, kind of how that is. It's I don't he's kind of already out the door, right? You know, the Packers really have nothing to lose for it. They might as well try. If he's able to clear waivers or make it to the Packers, why wouldn't you try if you were the Packers? You're not going to screw up any relationship with Aaron Rodgers. That's pretty much done. He's a Odell's a free agent anyways at the end of this year. So if you were to pick him up on waivers, you just deal with him. See if it works. You know, maybe he gets something going with Jordan Love and a chemistry going. I mean, Odell's, as hard as it's to believe, he's only 28.
Wow.
He's a young player. He has injury issues, but his next contract's not going to be that big. So maybe, you know, it'll be worth it to have him. You know, I don't know.
He's a talent. Yeah. He's definitely talented. It's, you know, and you know, as in recent years, he hasn't really been too, you know, out there in the media like that, even though like he's been injured or whatever. It's not like whenever he was in New York, you know, headbutting goalposts and stuff like, you know, like kicking nets and stuff like that. It's just, I just feel like he needs a good system. A change of scenery, you know, helps a lot with, you know, a lot of things. So, and being in Cleveland is, you know, I'm assuming it's not like a fun time for a guy like him. So maybe he just needs a change of scenery, you know, go somewhere and, you know, get a fresh start.
Yeah, he's got to humble himself in some situation. I don't know where he sits on this whole debate with, I don't even know you call it debate because Baker Mayfield wasn't like arguing back, but the situation, because you would think he would come out and say something. Mm-hmm. And it was clear after, you know, the first 24 hours, he wasn't going to do that, that it was over between him and Cleveland and his relationship with Mayfield was not going to be repaired.
Right. Yeah.
Oh man, we should have made this one of your power ranking segments because it's all pretty crazy and
it's a lot going on. Like this one of the wildest weeks in the NFL I've seen in a long time,
and probably the biggest story is Henry Ruggs. It's hard to talk about it in a kind of a fun way that, hey, there's a lot of craziness going on like we did with Odell and Aaron Rodgers because somebody died out of this, innocent person died. And you know, it's pretty ridiculous when you hear the stories. It's not just, okay, he drank and drove and he ended up getting in a wreck and he killed somebody. It's just the driving 156 miles an hour on a side road. I don't know that I've ever illegally drink and drive. I know there were some times I probably shouldn't have driven in my past, just in my head, like, okay, I'm going right down the road, which is no excuse. I don't know if I would have been pulled over and given a breathalyzer if I was over or under the legal limit, but we've all been in that situation where we've been, you know, our perception has been altered to whatever extent. And in those situations, I'm like 10-2, focused, driving the speed limit or under the speed limit, whatever I think is better. I don't, you know, him being twice the legal limit. And I understand it's not an argument, but it's a thing you can talk about is, you know, all these PSAs are saying, make the decision while you're sober. You know, plan for a ride home and all this, because when you're not sober, when you're under the influence, you don't make great decisions, but you think you have the mindset. Okay. I'm not going to I wouldn't drive 156 miles an hour sober, but you know, I'm not exactly a millionaire and I don't have a Corvette, you know, all the situations going on with Ruggs. But man, I don't think I've ever been twice the legal limit. I don't think I've ever drank that much. So who am I to say I would make that decision? But man, that's, it's really rough that it turned out the way it did and somebody lost their lives out of this.
Yeah. You know, first and foremost, you know, rest in peace, Tina Tenter. You know, that's like, It's a crazy thing. I, you know, actually like just looked up, you know, the video, because they had a video of, you know, right before the accident of him speeding down the highway. And he's like, it's like he's moved like it's like a race car. And then they have a video of the, you know, the car on fire. And it's just like, so it's like a surreal feeling, like, man, like someone really lost their life. And it's just like, you know, I feel like that's like one of the most selfish things you can do as far as like, you know, obviously, you know, being twice the legal limit, okay, you know, but Uber, like you're a millionaire, you know, that Uber is what, $30, it's just like, it's just one of those things where it's like, man, like it's, you know, hindsight, obviously he probably would have changed it, but it's, you can't bring back somebody. And, you know, she was a daughter. She was not sure if she had kids or anything, but, you know, she had a family and, you know, it's just, it's tough to, it was tough looking at the video. It was just like, wow, like it was in flames. Like I've never seen that before. And you just know somebody's in that car. And it's just like, it's unbelievable really how fast he was going and how, and the fact that he survived as well. Cause like 156 impact was 120 miles an hour. Like that's insane. Like you're for sure flying out of that car, but you know, he walked away from it. But someone else didn't survive the next day. And that's just tough to process.
Yeah. And there's a lot of investigating going on, figuring out where he was, supposedly at Top Golf, with Derek Carr earlier that night. A lot of situations, and they figure out who was serving him, because being twice the legal limit, you don't do that off of a few beers and a few drinks. It's but then again, who's going to be the restaurant to stop serving an NFL athlete in your city, in Las Vegas, of you know, of all places?
Yeah, you're thinking about, yeah, they're thinking about their, you know, their tip. So
yeah, like, and
you know, everything is just, man, that's just tough, man.
And we, you know, it's easy to kick him while he's down and and say, yeah, this is such a terrible thing, which it is. He made a horrible mistake,
right?
But you almost tend to be harder on him because somebody ended up dying, as opposed to you know, maybe Errol Spence Jr. Basically, the same situation. Luckily, he didn't hit anybody. And he obviously didn't necessarily walk away. He was in, you know, serious condition. He did survive. And then even other situations where you hear about football players or any sports athletes or anybody in general getting a DUI, they're arrested. I mean, a Cowboys player just happened a few weeks ago. And it's, and you're kind of like, oh, man, that's, you know, so you shouldn't have done that. Why are you screwing up your life? But you don't hold it against him really not too much. Some people do, some people don't, but it didn't make a better decision than Henry Ruggs did. In the exact same situation, he just, you know, maybe he wasn't driving his vehicle 100-something miles an hour, but he's just lucky enough that he didn't end up hitting anybody or getting in a wreck with somebody else that killed them.
Right.
And, you know, Ruggs' career, I assume, is over, unless he, you know, it all depends on how, you know, more information is going to come out. There will be a trial, and, you know, unless they reach some sort of agreement, plea deal, I'm sure he'll see jail time.
Yeah, you know, I would assume. Him being an NFL player, they're pretty, this is not really a good thing, but he'll probably be on like a long, probably like a 5 to 10 year probation type thing. He might see jail time, but
yeah, you know, I mean, we all saw with, you know, the Ethan Couch deal years ago where he killed five people and didn't see any jail time.
Right.
I think in this situation, being a huge story, I think they'll try to make an example of him. Maybe. I'm not sure. I don't know exactly how the courts work in Nevada, but we'll see. I'm sure there'll be some jail time, whether it's a year or a few months, or and then probation for a long time. And then after that, you know, he's a young guy. Who knows? Maybe down the road, the NFL will reinstate him and he can resurrect some. If a team's willing to take that on, I don't know. I doubt that, but
yeah, it's tough. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's only 22, though. That's the thing. So, I mean, I guess he has that going for him as far as like his age, and he's young, fast, but you know, it's kind of something you can't just brush over. Like you're going to, you're bringing it to your locker room, and yeah, it's that's tough.
And I'm assuming, you know, the charge is in, I mean, he's going to be, you know, the deal is going to be involuntary manslaughter. Some sort of that. He's not going to go to jail for 20 years. If he does, maybe 5, I doubt any longer than that. So by the time he gets out, if you were to, you know, in his situation, keep himself in shape, you know, he's looking at possibly being available before, you know, mid to late 20s. So it's possible. I don't know if the NFL would allow that, or if another team, you know, that'd be a PR disaster to sign him. But something I thought was crazy is you could buy, they had promotional shirts, the Raiders did, with his picture on it that says "Speed Kills," and just how bad that is, that looks after the fact. Obviously they didn't do that and they had to take the shirts down, but just ironic that there are people out there that own that shirt right now. And you know, I don't know what you do with it. You keep that, obviously. I wouldn't wear it anywhere, but you keep that. You could probably make some money off that one day.
Right. Like that's very ironic. I actually saw that. Yeah, that's you know, this, you can't really plan for that as a, you know, as a t-shirt manufacturer or anything like that. It's just, that's just, you know, something like it's really just unbelievable. But you know, for his sake, you know, not to kick him while he's down, you know, I hope he, you know, learns from this. I hope he, you know, in the future will make better decisions, obviously. I don't want to see his career over, but that's not up to me, but I don't want to see his career over. I do want him to, however, you know, get, you know, take whatever punishment that he's going to get, because he's going to get punished for it, you know, take it to the chin and just move forward and become a better person from it.
Yeah, you would think, because of his status and, you know, he has a following and he's in the spotlight, that they could turn this into, you know, salvage something good out of this. Whether he's works with organizations or speaks to kids in the future about consequences. I mean, I remember in high school, I believe it was a drinking and driving accident, but somebody had died, and the guy, that it was his fault, and he went to jail for a little while. But it was him and the person he killed, it was their mother, that went around the country. And, you know, just imagine like Henry Ruggs and a family member of this poor girl that he killed, you know, going around and speaking. You know, it speaks volumes. You know, hopefully something good can come out of this. Where maybe more lives can be saved, because he can go out and, you know, talk about that. Well, you know, as invincible as everybody feels when they're in their early 20s, just imagine adding money to that, adding your entire life. You've been king of your high school, of college, going into foot. Everyone's been telling you everything you want to hear. Money. He's got to feel incredibly invincible in that situation. And maybe that's what leads to it, but hopefully you're right. He can humble himself and mature and figure out a way to turn the situation around.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And coming up, we're going, about to start talking Cowboys football, you know, the game Sunday against the Broncos. Cowboys are 10-point favorites. If you're planning on betting on that game or not, but in general, if you're into sports betting, Cappers Collective is a free sports gambling newsletter. It's delivered to your inbox every Thursday morning. Find the most important sports gambling trends, insights, and the most profitable cappers to follow in the world in this weekly newsletter. Just go to cappers-collective.com. All you got to do is enter your email address. And every Thursday for free. That's it. You just, there's no extra charges. It's not a free trial. It's just absolutely free. I put that link into our description box, cappers-collective.com. Don't miss the opportunity to deepen your wallet today. now everybody can, you know, we can finally get serious now. If, you know, right. we talk about crazy things happening, and now we can get down to business talking Cowboys.
Right.
You know, everyone's kind of waiting for that letdown game. It doesn't matter if the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl this year. They're probably going to have some game that they play bad or they lose to a team they shouldn't. I mean, the Buccaneers just lost to the Saints. The Packers, heck, even lost to the Saints by a lot earlier this year. It's
right.
It's probably going to happen, and it's easy just to be on top of the world and say, yeah, they're playing the Broncos and they're playing the Falcons and they're going to blow those teams out. And realistically, you could look at every single game the rest of the year and be like, yeah, the Cowboys have a chance to beat that. They'll probably be favored in all but the Cardinals games. As of right now, you know, who knows a few weeks from now.
Right.
But do we realistically expect them to, how many games are 16-1 now? 15-1. So yeah, it'd be 16-1. Do we really expect them to go 16-1? I can see them winning every game.
Right.
Or a possibility of winning every game. Like if you break it down matchup by matchup, but you know, there's going to be a loss or two in there probably, maybe even more, but man, it's hard to find a reason that it would be this weekend with the Broncos.
Yeah. I don't, if Dak plays, I really don't see them losing this game. It's football, you know, any given Sunday, everyone, you know, a team can come in and get a win, but I just don't see it. I know a lot of people are banged up on the team, but I don't see it. They're just, you know, it just comes down to it. They're just a better team. And you know, if they come in and if they do what they're supposed to do, I don't really see them, you know, leaving with a loss. But
and Dak is expected to play. Tyron Smith's right. out. They're mm-hmm. moving Steele over to left tackle, which is questionable. And Collins is, you know, going to make his return to the offensive line as the right tackle. Mm-hmm. I thought they probably should have switched that around, but you know, I'm not a football expert, so you know, I'm not sure. So there are bits and pieces where you can see that, okay, maybe if Dak didn't get the protection he's supposed to have, maybe Amari Cooper's not quite up to it because he was injured. There's a lot of places you can see that if, you know, I don't expect the Cowboys just to go out and lose this game outright, but if, you know, they jack around, kind of how the Giants game started, there's that weird interception. I you know, it is what it is. They went for it on fourth down. Dak had the right idea. You know, a lineman just kind of tipped it up and intercepted it. And then there was another fumble. Just kind of these weird things that the Cowboys weren't playing bad. It's that they didn't keep their foot on the pedal, so to say. Right. It was a slow start. And that's the thing you don't want to happen. If there's a slow start and they kind of stay into it, you know, keep it within, you know, 8 or 9, 10 points. It's a situation where you have one big play and now it's a, you know, 3 or 4 point game, mm-hmm. you know, late in the fourth or something like that. So I expect them to win. I think it's, you know, you never want your team to be too confident, especially and skip these games or just kind of look past these games.
Right.
I think it helps that Dak didn't play last week. So he's going to kind of be back into it, trying to figure things out. He's definitely going to be 100% into this game. Mm-hmm. And hopefully the team around him, what's different about this team, this Cowboys team is for past years, even their good years, 2016, 2014, is their resilience. I mean, going back to last week when, I don't know if they were back-to-back-to-back plays, but 3 15-yard penalties on the Cowboys, 2 on Gregory on one of those last drives. And you just thought, that's it, it's over. You know, 45 yards just in penalties. They can't stop anything now. They were playing really well. And, you know, they hold them to a field goal, then the Cowboys come back and score. Same thing with the Patriots. It's kind of, you know, after Diggs had that pick six, and then the Cowboys very next play gave up the Diggs play. You're like, well, that's it. But no, they come back and they came back and battled. And that is kind of where the difference is to me that I see in this team. So each week I'm hoping that we don't get, you know, get that fall game that they're more than likely going to have. I mean, the Titans, who, man, are they the number one seed in the AFC right now? They're right up there. They lost to the Jets. Lost to the Jets a few weeks ago. So it's not going to devastate me if the Cowboys end up somehow losing this game or losing to the Falcons. Although I think this game would scare me a little more than the Falcons.
Definitely.
Because you have Dan Quinn on defense going back against the Falcons. You know, there's going to be he's not going to overlook that game.
I think they'll want to win that for him too. You know, that's a big game as far as, like, you know, I guess the relationships and everything. And they're definitely going to want to win that one for him.
And it's, I mean, like I said, I'm not going to say, okay, this Cowboys team's a fraud. They shouldn't, you know, it's okay. Let's take a step back. We got a loss. We're still going to win the division, but now we can learn from it. It's almost like, do you want them to win out? Yeah, they have the one number one seed. They get a bye, but of course you want that. But at the same time, they're getting really confident and cocky. And, you know, the Weed M boys, criticisms they've been getting, the defense have been getting with DeMarcus Lawrence. And it's like, man, they're really good. Maybe throw a loss or two in there to humble them a little bit. Surely you can still get the number one seed and get the bye week with two losses. But I definitely don't want it this week. I would much rather, if they were going to get a loss, to happen against a better team, just to help the confidence out and, you know, keep that home winning streak alive. You know, they're undefeated this year at home. I think they've only played three games at home, but and it's obviously an AFC team. It's, I guess, if you want to talk about standings and tiebreakers, it's a little less important. Because they'll look at NFC record before they, you know, before it gets down to that. But, you know, I fully expect them to win, to blow out the Broncos in this game.
Yeah, I think it'll probably, you know, it'll be a close game where I think Dallas will probably pull away, you know, along, you know, throughout the game. But I was just, you know, looking through their schedule, like, I don't really – it's only like two games that really worry me. They're pretty good on Thanksgiving, right? I feel like they, you know, they've been struggling recently on Thanksgiving, but
the Raiders are a hard team.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, that's why I said that
because saw how they did right after Gruden was let quit or resign, whatever you want to say he did. And then they came out and, you know, it's either goes one way or the other. They do terrible or they come out and do great. And now with the rug situation, I don't know. Do they come out and play great? I mean, they're obviously not a better team because of that. And, you know, I think Gruden was overrated as a coach anyways because he won a Super Bowl.
I do too.
But obviously, I think they're a worse team since, like, just talent-wise, like, coming back – emotionally, of course, that, you know, they came out and won big in that game after. But from a fundamental standpoint, you have your interim head coach. You didn't want him to be your head coach. So by default, I think they're a little worse. That, you know, that doesn't I think the Cowboys are better than the Raiders full steam anyways, but that doesn't mean they don't have a chance. But you have that, plus you have the rug situation. That's a pretty good player that's not on the team. So I don't know, but I'm glad they're not playing the Raiders right, you know, this week, right after it happens, because I think that's a lot of emotion you can't prepare for. You don't know how to quantify. It's like playing a backup quarterback. You don't like it. You don't, especially in the Cowboys, every time they seem to play a backup quarterback, it's that unknown factor. You know, he's not as talented, but they don't know him very well. So it's a situation where I feel worse about the Kansas City game than I do against the Raiders.
Yeah.
Do they play Kansas City in Kansas City, or is it a home game?
Yeah, it's at Arrowhead. Yeah,
and that makes it worse. I mean, the Cowboys have been playing great at home. And of course, the Thanksgiving Day game will be at home. I wouldn't be surprised if they lost to the Raiders. Hopefully, it wouldn't be like a crazy blowout and they just play terrible, because the Raiders are a talented team. But yeah, that's a really dysfunctional situation happening. But obviously, Arizona would be my game where I look at, and that's probably the most likely going to be the loss. If you had to pick a loss, and then Kansas City would be the next one for me. I have no fear or worry about the Giants, the Eagles, or the football team, almost the Redskins. It does stick out in the back of my head that they play the Eagles on the last game of the season, so that could be good where you've already clinched whatever spot you're going to. But going into that last game, if you're going for the number one seed and home field advantage throughout the playoffs, I can see where Philly could be motivated there to take out their rival. But overall, I'm not too worried about division games as I have been in the past, because they so far, you know, two games into the division, but they've taken care of business and blown out both Giants and Eagles.
Yeah, I'm not worried about anybody in the NFC, honestly. The Arizona game is obviously the game that sticks out, and you know, the Kansas City game in Kansas City, they haven't looked good at all. I don't think they're a good football team, but I'm always worried about them because, you know, Patrick Mahomes, and they have, you know, they still have the offensive weapons. Their defense can't cover anybody or guard anybody or stop anybody. So that's probably the only reason why I'm not too worried about that game. But, you know, their offense, it'll just be like a high scoring game. But I feel like Dallas will get just enough stops in that game. But as far as the other games, I'm not really worried about New Orleans or none of the NFC's teams. Arizona is probably the only game left that I'm like, okay, that's going to be like a dogfight. But the fact that we got it at home, and, you know, it'll be a, you know, a home game, it'll be a passionate crowd. So I feel like it'll be a good game. It'll just be a game that I'm like, man, I'm just like, that'll be a good game to watch. And hopefully at that point, they will, you know, the playoff seedings will kind of shake themselves into wherever, like, hopefully they'll already, you know, have some things clinched. And that might be a game that's played for the number one seed, you know, looking forward. So
we'll see. Yeah. Yeah, there's a chance that because I don't think the Cardinals will I expect the Rams to win that division. But the Cardinals will be in it. I think they might probably have three losses by then, and I don't think the Cowboys are going to go undefeated until there.
Right.
But right now that's a noon game, and I fully expect that to be flexed to Sunday Night Football.
I haven't looked at
what other games are that week, but I can't imagine, unless, you know, everything's already, maybe the Cowboys can't get the number one seed and they're kind of locked in. Maybe they rest some players. But in general, if you look at the teams they've played, they haven't beaten really good quarterbacks. I mean, they lose to Tom Brady, although I think they handled that well. Herbert's a good quarterback. He's not really established, but you look at what Sam Darnold did against them with his legs. So I think right now, with as great as the defense played last week, extremely well, despite not getting all the turnovers they normally get. And I know you can say Kirk Cousins in prime time. Kirk Cousins may be the best quarterback you beat, honestly. Sam Darnold was looking good. You played him when they were 3-0. Justin Herbert looks good. But honestly, play mobile quarterbacks that are good quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, which I know you're not going to play him, at least not now. I don't know if they can make the playoffs. But you have Patrick Mahomes, I'm worried about. Kyler Murray, I'm worried about.
Yeah.
You know, if you play the Ravens, I'll take it, because the only way you play them is in the Super Bowl. But I don't know that the defense can factor in for that. I mean, obviously they can prepare for it, but really if and I know it's apples and oranges. You're talking about Darnold scoring touchdowns on the ground against you, but you know, they're preparing for different things. If Darnold was known more as a running quarterback, a mobile quarterback, they would, you know, I know they'd game plan a little different.
Right.
But that's, you know, really who I'm worried about this defense playing, although they've been playing so good, is if you play Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, possibly Tom Brady again. You know, I'm not worried about Teddy Bridgewater. I'm worried about his receivers. There was the Broncos receivers possibly doing really good against our DBs, but
yeah,
quarterback, I don't think Teddy Bridgewater is going to beat you. I think if you can't cover their receivers, they're going to beat you in this game. And then I haven't been keeping up with the Falcons. Is Matt Ryan good anymore? Stat-wise, yeah. I have no clue. You could tell me he's third in touchdowns. I'd be like, okay, that could be possible. He's always up there in touchdowns and yards. But, you know, honestly, I have no idea. I haven't watched one Falcons game. I just know they were blown out by the Eagles and barely beat the Redskins, and that's pretty much all I can, you know, that tells me everything I need to know about the Falcons, right?
Yeah.
I'm not worried about them much at all.
Yeah. And Matt Ryan, I'm not really sure. You know, he's been out of the spotlight. They've been losing. So he has the stats, obviously. I'm not really sure if he's good anymore. All my Falcons friends say he's not, but they've always said he wasn't. So I'm not really sure. But I'm not really worried about him. You know, like you said, hopefully we just handle business and then go into, you know, Kansas City. Well, that would be what, 8-1. So, I mean, I'm not looking, like, I've been looking forward to that Kansas City game all year, and hopefully we kick them while they're down. But
yeah, that's, you know, 3 weeks from now, and who knows what, you know, they just had a ugly, I guess you call it an ugly win, and they're 4-4 now. In general, if you're playing a 4-4 team, you're not that confident about it. Forget right. The fact that it's Kansas City. Yeah, the defense, you know, I'm not really worried about this offense whatsoever unless Cooper and CD and Gallup are all out on the same day. It's still, who knows? But overall, I'm not worried about offense whatsoever outside of injury. Defense is the only one from week to week. Overall, they've been played really well in different ways. Some weeks it's getting interceptions. Last week it was just being dominant. I mean, you can call them dominant last week outside of some stupid penalties, you know, whether, you know, they weren't, I wouldn't call them horrible calls because there was some precedence for it. Ticky-tacky calls maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially on that one drive, but you know, there was a drive, they went 3-and-out and Cowboys jumped off sides. On fourth down.
Yeah.
And then after that, they took him 3-and-out again, but it was like 4th-and-2 or 4th-and-1. And they went for it and gained like 40 yards. So it's those situations where, okay, there's a lot, like, I don't know off the top of my head how many yards were in that game. If stat wise, they're dominant, but just they passed the eye test. You could tell they were dominant, especially when it counted late in the game. I would say in spite of those penalties, but go ahead and add those penalties in, because even with those penalties, they said, screw that. I believe it was a third down when they called that first roughing the passer call where I guess he did land on him pretty hard. That's where they were calling it. Wasn't a late hit. But then you're like, okay, well, that's it. They, you know, they had him stopped and they got that. And the couple of the 15-yard penalties on or the personal foul, personal penalties on Gregory, I don't remember off the top of my head what down they were, but when you have all these penalties and you're still able to hold them to 3 points, and now you don't have to go down there and play for the tie, you're going down there and a touchdown wins the game that's what I call dominant. And I know they can't play like that every week. And I know it's kind of an anomaly. Next year, it's hard to take a really good defense from year to year unless you're, right. you know, just That's have true. The talent. Doomsday defense, and it's a situation where, okay, there's talent we didn't think we, I mean, we thought Gregory was talented, but it was hard to keep him on the field. You're getting Parsons right. is talented. Diggs is a lot better than we thought he was pretty good. There is talent, but still there's a lot of weak points on this defense. And from week to week, you know, I'm just going to let it, you know, let's just do our deal on offense and try to have a pretty good defense. We got an average to good defense. We'll be okay. Yeah. I'm not going to be a homer and be under the assumption that, hey, our defense, we got a top five defense, and stat wise that maybe, you know, I doubt we're top five stat wise, but you know, probably top 10.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not under the impression that that's going to last every week. It's different situations. It's different quarterbacks and opportunities. Like I said, we haven't, outside of Tom Brady, you can throw Justin Herbert in there. Who, you know, what quarterbacks have we played?
Right.
And we'll see. That's luckily, you know, Cowboys just have to play their schedule. They can't, you know, say, hey, sorry, we don't have any, you didn't schedule us better teams. So, you know, just get your business done. You know, take care of business.
Right. Right. Yeah. Hopefully that, you know, they just go in and get the job done, and then, you know, on to the next week. So we'll see how it goes tomorrow.
Yeah. It's gonna be and my dream right now is to, thinking short term, is let's just, let me pig out on Thanksgiving. The Cowboys roll in there at 9-1.
Mm-hmm.
And get a couple early scores, and it's kind of just a relaxing blowout over the Raiders, move to 10-1.
Yeah.
You know, but I've said it before. Everyone says it. I didn't come up with it. But when you're winning, you're on a win streak, it's hard to imagine you losing.
And yeah.
when you're losing, it's hard to imagine you winning.
Yeah. That's the truth, especially, like, I'm, like I said earlier, like, I'm not really sure about the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. It's always hit or miss. They're either world beaters or, like, they just don't look like they wanted to play today. And it's just like, okay.
It's hard for the Cowboys just to lose respectfully.
Right.
It's always like something ugly happened if they're going to lose.
Yeah, and they never really – yeah. And they haven't really had, like, a win streak on Thanksgiving since probably the Romo days, because it's always – win, lose, win. Like, yeah, that, like, did they play out? Did they play last year on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, play every year on Thanksgiving. I know last year,
I'm trying to think,
they were blown out. They played the football team,
yeah. Then they lost to the Bills, the year before,
so
they won.
So they're due for a win. Lost. It's okay,
yeah, they're doing for, yeah, they got to get a win. So I'm just gonna chalk it up as a win.
And I hope, I know there were rules against not wearing different helmets. And some teams would just re-decal their helmets, but the Cowboys are lazy and say, okay, we're just going to wear all white. I don't want them to do that this year. I want them to wear the white helmets, blue star,
with the blue jerseys,
the blue
with the white
shoulder. Yeah, that's what I want. That's what they need to wear every single year.
That's my favorite jersey of theirs. I love that jersey.
Yeah, and that's what I want. It's really disappointing because – now they're on a streak where they play Thanksgiving and then they play Thursday night football the next week. And they'll always wear all white for two straight games. And sure, wear all white the next game against, I don't even know who's after Thanksgiving, but Thursday, but wear the blue jerseys. Jerry Jones, I know you're not listening to me. If you were, you know, it would be a whole different situation. And if you are listening, you need to get a life. But if somehow you listen to this, let's just wear the white helmets, blue jerseys. That's, I'm petty. And that's, you know, and generally I'm not, but if you don't say the things I'm petty about, that's what I want to watch. The 9-1 Cowboys go against the Raiders in blue jerseys.
Yeah. They got they have the Saints the next week in New Orleans. So,
The Saints are probably wearing white jerseys then, so they probably won't have the opportunity.
Yeah. Hopefully they wear white, but you never know. The Saints, they'll either come out all white or they'll have the all blacks. I love those jerseys too, by the way. The Saints all black, I love those. But I guess we'll see. Hopefully they come out in the blue jerseys and get the win.
So real quick before we get off of here, what's the final score for the Cowboys and Broncos?
Let's see. 34-17, Dallas.
See, you're thinking the same as me, but I have it 34-24, but it's not really that close. I think it kind of what happened in the Panthers game, I think the Cowboys get up big, and in garbage time, the Broncos get a lot of yards and maybe score a touchdown or get an extra field goal and make it look slightly closer. But I'm right on board with Vegas. I think the Cowboys win by 10.
Yeah, I think they win 10 plus for sure.
Well, Chris, it's been fun talking to you, especially when the Cowboys win. We'll talk next Saturday.
All right, man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.